You may think something, you may believe something, but unless we pass it on, the children don't know it. And how important it is that we do that, that they should make them known to their children. We want to make, and you know, this is kind of a exhortation to parents, but those who are involved with ministering to children are have a role in that, to where we are very similar as we are ministering and supporting the family. We are not the parents, but we are in many ways acting as spiritual parents to them. That the next generation might, that the next generation to come might know them. There's nothing more important than what you're doing, what we do, than to bring the children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to have their own personal relationship with him. Not what mom had or what dad had or friend had or whatever it may be. But we have the high calling to make sure that they understand that gospel message. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. That the children will be born. That they may arise and declare them to the children, passing it on again, that they may set their hope in God. The children, if you haven't noticed, need hope. We have so many children that are committing suicide because they have no hope. The system that's training and teaching them is bringing them to a place of hopelessness. You get to bring them to hope. You get to bring them to Jesus Christ. You get to let them know that he's alive, he's real, and he loves them, and he wants them to follow him. High calling. Don't ever allow the enemy to tell you, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm not really needed. Or that's junk. That's from the pit of hell. You are needed. God wants to use you more than he's used you already. And then, but keep his commandment. Oh, excuse me, I skipped from another portion of verse 7. And not forget the works of God. One of the fastest ways to forget the works of God is the squeeze. The squeeze. The children are being squeezed out of any idea about God with all the worldly things that are going on. The enemy's probably one of his number one tools. Get us busy about something that really doesn't matter. And then keep us busy. He does it in all of our lives. He does it in the children's lives. One of the greatest perils that we have in the United States is we have so many choices. We are free to choose so many things. And most of the time, those things aren't chosen towards Christ. They're chosen away from Christ. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. So our task is to pass it on. To pass it on. That means to deliver it, to transfer it, to entrust it, to impart to someone, to communicate it, to instruct, to train. That's our part. That's the first part. To bring the children to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know all the statistics that are out there. We know for a fact that children are the largest group to receive the Lord through life. Why do you think the enemy spends so much time with those who minister to children? The enemy's not dumb. He knows that a lot's taken place in those early years, and he knows that if I can mess up the people that are willing to step out and go to the children, and he's going to try that. But I love scripture because it reminds us greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. God is faithful even when we aren't. And as we allow God to live his life out through us, faithfulness does take place. The second aspect I wanted to bring up is that Children don't come ready-made. It's a pretty logical thing, but the fact is they don't come ready-made. We read the scripture, Proverbs 22:6, all the time. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm afraid, though, that we don't read it that way. What we typically read that verse is teach up a child in the way they should go. There's a huge difference between teaching and training. And if we're just teaching, that means we're lecturing them up. But if we're training them, we're creating and developing a skill in their life that they are using, that they are involved with. So when we think that just the teaching of something is the end result of what we want, think again. Yes, we need to teach, but we need to move beyond the teaching to the training part of a child's life. Teaching is what we do to cause them to understand something. Training is something that we do that we watch them and train them up in doing it, actually doing it. We spent a little more time on this whole concept in the workshop ahead of us. Teaching deals with the mind. Training deals with the heart. A lot of our teaching goes to the mind. We need to bring it to the heart of the issue, the will of the person, the willingness to respond, the willingness to follow Jesus. Sometimes I wonder about the messages that we are giving to the children. We'll touch on that in a second. So, passing it on, reaching the millennial generation. Now, I have to confess that over the years that I've been involved in children's ministry, I've never really paid a lot of attention to the different generational names. You know, they go back to GI generation back in the early 1900s, and it was fun reading these. And I'm going to share just a brief bit about it. Was so fun reading because I didn't realize this, just some of the things that they were considered. Excellent team players, strongly interested in personal morality, marriage for life, no such thing as retirement. We're going to burn out. I love it. So that was their thing between 1909, if they were born then, and 1926. Mature, silent generation, the traditionalists, which were born from 1927 to 1945, Korean Vietnam War, the pre-feminist movements. Marriage is still for life as far as they're concerned. The greatest problem they had in school was a passing of notes, that's and chewing gum. So I don't know if that meant they didn't know how to chew gum. No, I just. And then there's the baby boomers. Whoa. Born in 1946 to 1964. That's me. I don't know if I was even aware of that. That's how, like, I didn't really care about the names because I see it from a whole different perspective. But it's a way to describe them. And that became the me generation. Self-centeredness, self-righteousness. It's the first TV generation, the first divorce generation. Then you get the Generation X, 1965 to 1980. And again, very individual, the latchkey kids. Most remember being in school without computers. Yeah, boy. That's something, yeah. Ooh. AIDS began to spread. People's personal rights, school problems with drugs, self-absorbed. And I thought, yeah. And those were the people that were bringing up the next generation, the millennials. We wonder why they turned out the way they did. How did they turn out? You know, they turned out probably the way everybody turns out, one degree or another. But one of the things I was seeing as I was going through all this was, hey, the progression is towards self. Each group became more self-focused, more self-centered. You know that that's a message that's contrary to Jesus Christ? It's a message from the pit of hell, by the way. Because Jesus said to his disciples, you want to follow me? Cool. This is what you do to follow me. These two things. You deny yourself and take up the cross. So those are the qualifying factors for a follower of Jesus Christ. Denying self, taking up cross. And yet I'm reading all this self-centered, self-focused, all about me generations that we're dealing with, that we're talking to, that we're trying to share. What's the cross for anyway? What is a cross for in its form of design when it was created? It's for death. Self-denial, death, follow Jesus. So the message that can go out, mistakenly sometimes from us, is that you don't have to die. You don't have to deny. You just believe. You know, that's been made famous in the world, though, to believe. To believe what? What is it that we're to believe? We're to believe that Jesus came to earth and died and rose again and is seated in the heavenlies, and he died for us, our sins. The last point I want to bring is, what is the message that we're supposed to pass on? I believe there's confusion. Why? Because the Word of God is so awesome. There are so many good, good things in the Word of God that you can spend the rest of your life teaching. But we jump over the two most important things that we can train and teach the children, and that is to know God and to walk with God. Sometimes the message of knowing God is not clear. It's just, maybe it's not understood fully. It's not spoken in children's language. And it's not consistently done. Now, I'll do that every 3 or 4 weeks or months, or it should be done every time an ear is close to you that's a child's ear. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over and over. The second thing they need to understand is, what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And sometimes we have this attitude, yeah, I gave my life to the Lord, so now I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Seriously, John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you may know God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's forever, that's eternity. If you think you know God very much right now, you're mistaken. The journey of knowing God is forever. Do the children know how to do that? Do the children know that the communication that they need to have with God? Do they know how to pray? We so often just, oh, prayer is just, yeah. Prayer is communication with God. It's not just asking about, God, give me this. It's so much greater, so much more full. Do they know how to read the Bible? And you may say, well, yeah, anybody, if they know how to read, they can open a Bible and just read it. No. Do they know how to read the Bible and speak with God and have God speak to them? And I'll tell you right now, what I'm seeing is the answer is no. We aren't teaching them the very basics, and we are getting far, far away to good things that we're teaching, but not to the best. We need to realize what our goals are for the children, and we need to realize those goals are what God's goals are, and that is to bring them to Jesus Christ, and then to teach them how to walk with Jesus Christ. Not just give them information about the Bible As good as that may be, if that's our goal, we are creating religious children. We don't want to create religious children. You see, Christianity, simply put, powerfully put, is Jesus Christ and our personal communion and walk with him. It's not all about the church, although that's where God has created a housing for those who want to follow Jesus, which church is awesome. But they're trying to get them to church for the purpose of getting them to church. We want them to come to know Jesus Christ and a fellowship, and then the rest will play itself out. Yes, there's the other aspects of discipling, and those things are so important. But we want to pass on to the next generation. And don't ever think they know what you know. They don't know what you know. They don't know it. That's the pass on part. That's the part that we're interested in this conference. That's the part where we need to be putting our lives into what we are doing when we are with the children. Pass on what Jesus once passed on in regards to he desires that not one would perish. Pass on what it is to walk with God and how we do that. We use the term abide all the time. What's abide mean? He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And yet we're teaching sometimes people to be able to do something that's not related to being in Christ, abiding with him. My prayer for you, my hope for you and the children is that God uses you as those vessels that bring them to understand who Jesus Christ is in this real world. And that he uses you to take them from the place of the introduction of Jesus Christ to a strong relationship and fellowship and communion with him on a daily basis. It's a daily walk. It's a daily dying to self. And these kids are in the thick of some of the craziest things in the world today. They need Jesus, and they need to know how to stay with Jesus and walk with Jesus. Father, we pray that you would use us for that reason. We ask, Lord, that your purposes would be accomplished in each of these people here to minister to the children, that they can bring the children to know you and to know you more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.